Thank you ever so much, Darren. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSO Standing Selection Committee meeting on the 30th of March 2017. On the call today, we have François Tverzi, Frédéric Guillemot, Maxima Zober, Jolfen Slingers, Osvaldo Navarro, Susan Kawaguchi, and Renato Ribeiro. We received no apology for today's call. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Emily Barabas, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. We also have Glenda Sengeri on the call. I would like to remind you all to please remember to state your names before speaking for purposes of the transcript. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Marika.
Thanks, Natalie, and hello, everyone. My name is Marika. Definitely not my intention to lead or chair this meeting, and that's why you've seen on the right side agenda item two, where hopefully you can all agree on who's going to take over leading this group. But just to get you started, you've seen that staff has collated some of the information, has set up your workspace, circulated some background information that is hopefully helpful as you move forward in your work. So that's how we've ended up here. As you see on the list, and it may be helpful as we're a relatively small group, maybe we can just do a little introduction of everyone and go around the room so everyone knows who everyone is and where you're coming from, and noting that we're still short one appointment by the NCSG. And as I said, I've noted that I think Laurie is not on the call at the moment. She may be joining later, but she's the IPC representative in this effort. So as noted, you know, my name is Marika Koning, so I'm going to be providing you with staff support for this effort together with my colleague Emily Barabas and Natalie Peregrine. So any questions or any assistance you may need, you know, please always feel free to reach out to us or let us know how we can assist you. So maybe we can just go through the Adobe Connect and go from top to bottom. And for those of you that are on audio or able to introduce themselves, I first have Frederic. Frederic is working on his audio. We can hear you.
Okay. Good afternoon. Can I speak? Ponsolid speaking for the records.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon and good evening, everybody. I'm Ponsolid Ilology. I'm based in the Gambia. I chair the policy committee for the not-for-profit operational constituency. And it's still 4-6 GMT here, and I'm very pleased to be representing the NCSG in this forum, and my whole background has been in ICT and development and internet policy, so I look forward to working with other colleagues from the different constituencies. Some of them I briefly met at the intersessional in Iceland. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Consulate. So maybe whoever wants to go next can raise their hand, at least in that way where we know you're on audio and I'm not calling on anyone that hasn't managed to connect yet. And Frederic, you may see that Natalie is trying to assist you on how to activate your Adobe Connect audio. Osvaldo, go ahead.
Hello, I'm Osvaldo Novoa. I'm from Uruguay. I'm representing the Internet Service Provider constituency. I work in the telecommunications company in Uruguay, and right now I'm a member of the NOMCON or the ISPCP also, so I might not be able to dedicate as much time as I need to this group, but I will try to do my best.
Thanks, Osvaldo. Who's next? Yulf, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, good evening, whatever. This is Jutta Singers from Amsterdam, and I'm the non-com representative to the non-contracting parties house. Thanks.
Thanks, Jules. Maxime, go ahead.
Maxime Alzoba, I'm appointed by registry constituency. I work for that Moscow. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxine. Susan?
Hi, I'm Susan Kawaguchi, and I'm a GNSO counselor for the BC. Ed Morris and I worked on this charter with staff to set up this committee, so I'm looking forward to seeing how it works. We sort of did an ad hoc version of this for the last, for the SSRT candidate selection. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this works. That said, I've applied as a candidate for the, who is the RDS review team. So I will be after this, once we get to the point of actually selecting candidates, I'll step out, obviously, and another BC member will step in. But I just wanted to be part of it to see. One of the things that Ed and I thought were critical is that we review how well the process works or doesn't work, and so that we might go back to the GNSO Council and say, okay, we need to tweak the charter here or there. So it would be really interesting to hear anybody's input once we get moving with this committee.
Thanks very much, Susan. I think we're still missing Frederic and Renate. I don't know, Frederic, if you've already managed to solve your audio issues, or if alternatively you want to introduce yourself in the chat. And Renate, I'm not sure, are you in a position to speak, or you may otherwise want to do the same thing? Renate, go ahead.
Thank you, Renate. Kim Rubin for the record. Yeah, I have been appointed by NCUC. Very happy to join you on this committee. I think someone started their audio problem or...
Natalie, can you check where the noise is coming from? Sounds like we have aliens on the line. I'll give Natalie a minute to try and figure out where this is coming from. And I hope it's not my line. Can you hear me? Hi, this is Marika. I think we managed to get rid of the alien.
Hello, this is Frederic speaking. I just managed to talk into a microphone. I hope you can hear me. No, you can't hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
Good. I'm Frederic. I am from Save Runs. It's a French registrar, and I'm from the registrar constituency, and I'm happy to work with you on this standing committee. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Frederic. I think we've covered everyone that's on the call, noting that we're still missing one member, and Laurie is not with us today. I'm for the moment talking through Adobe Connect, so I hope my my connection stays okay, and if not, still have to bear with us. As I noted, I put together a couple of items on the agenda for your consideration, but this is really your meeting, so please feel free to suggest how to go about this discussion or how to go about this meeting. One thing I didn't specifically call out here, but the charter foresees that in principle the SSE is expected to work as a normal working group with open recorded meetings, but as a recognition that in certain circumstances, the SSE may need to operate on a more confidential matter, or you may want to have certain conversations potentially that are not recorded, but the charter is clear in that case as well that wherever you do put forward conclusions or recommendations, you're expected to provide a rationale so that it's clear for the broader community where your recommendations have come from. So that's probably something that you may want to consider at one of your upcoming meetings, how you want to operate as well. I think that goes together with some of the practicalities in relation to the frequency of meetings, duration of meetings. But one of the reasons why the agenda is as it currently is that you have an immediate task ahead of you with a very tight deadline to be able to, for the GNSO Council to consider your recommendations in relation to the RDS review team at its meeting on the 20th of April. I see you already have a couple of hands up, so I'll stop here and Pontelet, you're next.
Sorry, I'm possibly speaking for the record. I was on mute in my mic. Thank you, Marika. I just felt that since we were moving over to agenda, on the proposed agenda 2, selection of interim chairs, I just like to make a suggestion and see what my other colleagues say, that in line with the fact that Susan Kawaguchi co-initiated this she said she will step out when the selection process starts. I would like to suggest we recommend her as one of the interim chairs, if there are going to be two, because I feel she has a history and she worked on it. So that's just my feeling. So I would just like to hear what other colleagues will say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pontelet. Maxime
also, but for the record, I have a question on the charter. As I understand, the review of each person should be done like without assistance of others. Like we have to do it individually, and the information can be shared only after GNSO Council approves whatever we come with. Am I right?
This is Marika, and I'm sure Susan can chime in if I get this wrong, but I think as it's foreseen in the charter, and I think it's important to recognize that those are our guidelines. I think what the charter aimed to do is put forward a set of general guidelines that are hopefully applicable to the different selections and nominations this committee may need to do, but recognizing at the same time that in certain cases there may be modifications or nuances to those principles. I think that the important part is that the SSE is expected for each of those selections at some point to be able to kind of define, you know, what is the process that is being used and what is the, you know, the timeline that is needed. Again, I think for this specific one, we're probably in a bit of a relatively short time frame, which may not allow you yet to do that to the detail, which I think was foreseen in the charter. But I think that's as well how you should read that specific principle. But as I understood it, it basically says members of the SSC should first individually review all the applications and make an assessment for themselves how they believe the different applicants meet the criteria as set out in the call for volunteers. The SSC can discuss how that is done. For example, everyone can, you know, just individually run through the CVs and you know, mark them up, give them grades, you know, pass, non-pass, 1 to 10, For example, for the SSR review team, we use a survey. So I think we listed the different criteria that were included in the call for volunteers and then asked each individual member to rank the candidates against those criteria. And again, there are different ways in which you can do that. You can kind of, you know, force, you know, a 1 to 10 ranking, or you can just give people points and you kind of add them up. So there are different ways in which you can do that. The idea is then that once that individual review or assessment has taken place, you come together collectively, and those collective results are then reviewed and discussed. So there may be occasions where there's a very clear agreement on, you know, whoever is the top candidate or the second or the third, but in certain cases, there may be a very diverse perspective. And again, it's for you then to discuss how to resolve that and come to full consensus on you know, who you want to put forward. Once you've gone through that process and have agreed and have come to full consensus on which candidates you want to nominate, and as I pointed out in my email yesterday as well, again, there are some options in there. The GNSO has the ability to nominate up to 7 people to this review team. However, only 3 of those have a guaranteed seat. So it's up to you to make a determination at what you're going to recommend to the GNSO Council. Are you just going to recommend, you know, up to 3? Are you going to recommend 3 priority candidates and then 4 additional ones that may come into the mix if not all the other groups nominate up to their 3 candidates? If you do that, you know, do you want to rank those candidates from 4 to 7 in a preferred order? There are a number of ways in which this can be approached. And again, it's really up to you to think through and decide what approach to take. And of course, in certain situations, it may depend as well on the number of applications and the quality of those applications. Because again, it may also be a question if, you know, 4 people asking for GNSO endorsement, there's no ability to even nominate 7. And once you've gone through that and finalized your recommendations, then is when those are submitted to the GNSO Council, who will vote on those recommendations, and once approved, they will then be communicated to the other SOs and SO and A chairs, who will make the final selection of the review team members, knowing again that the first 3 that are nominated have a guaranteed slot and those cannot be changed or switched out. Susan, very happy that you have your hand up, and I'm hoping I didn't get too much of that wrong.
No, it sounded perfect to me, Marika. There was just a couple things I wanted to note. You know, we do expect you to consult with your own community, either your SG or constituency, and because first, any candidates come from your community, you would know the best and would know if they're suited for this or not. And so your recommendations are extremely important about your own community members that are candidates, but also the charter isn't explicit in the fact that we should rotate, but we should always keep that in mind. So I think, the SSR review team candidates, you know, that process sort of followed some of what's in the charter, but it was a little ad hoc because of timing and truthfully, we could not get all the members together to talk about the candidates at once. So we learned a little bit through that process, but I think that the NCUC or NCSG did not have a candidate selected last time. So we really should be focusing on ensuring that, you know, in the review teams going forward, we're always sort of looking back. We want to choose the best candidates, but also we want to, you know, if we can, make sure that all the stakeholder groups are rotated through. So, you know, as for reviewing we do expect each member of this committee to review all the candidates and come up with their own recommendations. But I found it helpful with the BC because there was times when we were looking at other stakeholder group candidates and I didn't know them, but somebody else in the BC had worked with them and found them very capable and, you know, sort of a person that works well on a working group. So it so when someone was advocating for them, it was like, yes, this is the same perception that somebody else has told me. So that helps to go back to your own community and then and just to remember that, you know, we want to make sure that all four stakeholder groups in the GNSO Council get a fair share of representation down the way. The other thing that happened that sort of threw us was one of our top three picks was actually selected by a different SO and AC and nominated for the SSR review team. So we went back then and pulled up our fourth pick to be one of the top three, which goes to show that we definitely need more than three candidates to recommend. And but also the idea is if other SOs or ACs do not fulfill all three of their slots, we potentially could then use maybe our fourth, fifth, or sixth picks to fill those slots. It depends on the agreement of the SOs and ACs when they all meet to determine the review teams. So in this case, they decided that 21 might be too big for the SSR team, and the other SOs and ACs did not hand over their selection spots to the GNSO. But we're always hopeful, so we should always pick seven in a ranked order.
Thanks, Susan. Renata?
Yes, can you listen to me here? Hello, Sunbridge?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello? Yes, can I hope the audio is okay. Okay, so Renata, I was presenting myself. I was appointed by NCUC, and I am also part of a similar project, in a new project in LACNIC to enhance diversity and participation in the groups. It's very interesting to see this committee forming here. I also would like to thank for the comprehensive material sent to us, and I would concur with the comments on appointing the alternates as well. So I understand we have three guaranteed seats, and we can appoint up to seven. So one of the problems we have out of the bat here is that we are three women to five men in our committee. Is that correct? So even though we do not have yet the appointed member by NCSG independent, we are already down on gender balance. I think that will be a very common situation on the candidates pool. So I would like that also to be taken into consideration. Thank you.
Thanks, Renata. You?
Okay, you're searching us for the record. I would just like to clarify something because of my original understanding was that we would pre-select candidates, but the GNSO Council would actually vote on the candidates. If we only pick the number of candidates that there are positions, we in a sense already commit to basically the council only having either approving or non-approving it. So I just would like clarification. What is our remit here? Are we supposed to come up with a bunch of candidates and the council decides on them, or should we really decide on which candidates and then basically they just say yes or no?
This is Marika. My understanding of the charter is indeed that the expectation of the council is that the SSC will indeed provide recommendations on the candidates in a ranked order, whether that's three, whether that's seven, whether it's one or whatever you come up with. But the GNSO Council does have the ability to either change that or go back to the SSC if they're of the view that you've missed something, maybe you didn't take into account the rotation that Susan was referring to. So there's no obligation for the GNSO Council to just accept the recommendations as is, although the expectation is that indeed the committee does its work in such a way, and noting as well, of course, that there's representation from all the groups, there's full consensus, and my belief is that there's a hope that whatever you provide is in line with what the council views as well, so that they can indeed just approve the work that has been done. But there's no obligation to do so. There is the flexibility for the council to either change your recommendations or refer them back if they believe further work is needed or they may have clarifying questions.
Okay, thanks for
Susan?
Yeah, I think you covered that. In the last round with the SSRT, the council just went ahead and agreed to all seven candidates in a ranked order. And so, but they, if anybody had objected, then we could have gone back to look at it again or maybe changed, somebody from the second ranking to the seventh, switch spots or something. So I think we should be cognizant of that and open to that if the council has concerns with what, the candidates or the ranked order that we've come up with.
Thanks, Susan. Before we continue, because I know we're already going into the substance of the conversation, can we maybe first come back to item two? Because I would love for you to take this over. I've already heard one nomination being made for Susan. Susan, we haven't heard yet whether you're willing to consider that. I don't know if there are others that are willing to be considered for this role. The charter foresees that you select amongst your members and how you want to manage this group, whether it's a chair or chairs or an interim chair or whatever structure you think will work best. And of course, staff is for to support whoever is willing to volunteer for that role. I think Frederick had his hand up before, so I don't know, Frederick, if you wanted to come on this specific topic or what I can do to Susan first, so then we can close off the item of two and then move into the other areas.
No, it was regarding another question, so we can go back to item two.
Susan?
So I appreciate the vote of confidence, but I think it would be a little awkward as me as a candidate to be chair. I also feel like I'm not sure that whoever steps in from the BC to temporarily replace me on this committee. But maybe co-chairs would be a good idea if, I don't mind doing the work and helping chair the committee. Since I'm pretty familiar with the process, but as a candidate, I don't feel like I can do that. So if we pick co-chairs, then I could step back in after the RDS review team candidates have been selected, because then we have the ATRT, is that it, Marika? We have another one after this, right? Shortly.
Yeah, it's actually the GNSO representative to the designated, the empowered community.
Oh, empowered, okay.
That's the other one that's immediately following this work.
Yeah, so, this committee will have some work to do. And I'm hoping to be part of that, but, to actually be the only chair, I think would be awkward.
Yes, Renato here. May I? I hope you are listening to me okay.
Yes.
Thank you. So, yes, I would first remove the parenthesis on interim, selection of interim chairs indeed, because we are still waiting for one more nomination. And then we can confirm the chair when we have the full group. It shouldn't be a big change if the chair will already be exercising the chairmanship of the group, or chairwomanship. a question, really. Yes. So we will have situations where members of the group will have to recuse themselves because they are running for selection themselves. So we discussed the idea of a co-chair. Now there's a selection for rotating chairs. I'm wondering about members. The biggest I've seen in ICANN is 3 co-chairs. We have how many? 9 of us. So that would be a third being co-chairs. I think that's a good enough number, but I would like to hear more on this point. Thank you.
Thanks, Renata. Just to point out that I think for some of the groups that have indeed a leadership team of 2 or 3 people, those are usually groups that are over 100 working group members. So I do want to make sure that you think about not creating too heavy a bureaucratic structure, although I think from a staff active, for us it's always definitely helpful to have indeed at least 2, so in cases where someone is not available or, as Susan noted, may need to recuse themselves, there's always someone else able to step in. Federico, is it still on the other point or on this point?
No, this time is on this point. So I think we are not a lot of people in the group, as you said, and maybe chairs, co-chairs is a bit overkill, according to me, because apparently the our task is just to run a project, make some selections and agree on them. And I think maybe a coordination role, like a project leader, would be someone who would just coordinate, and I don't think we should call it a chair, but that's fine. If we want to call it a chair, why not? But facilitators, yes, or coordinator, because most of the job will be done by ourselves, and then we'll just have one meeting and try to figure out a consensus on the candidates, and should maybe I'm too naive, but it should be easy, I guess. No?
Thanks, Frederick. Nothing at ICANN is easy, believe me. But maybe I'm being skeptical here. But no, I think you make a very good point. One of the approaches you can consider, and as I noted in the chat as well, there's nothing from preventing you from doing so, that indeed you appoint an interim chair or co-chairs for this specific selection process, and then reiterate that for the next one. It will also, of course, then alleviate the burden, because being a chair or chairing this effort does come with some additional work and responsibilities. So it may be as well, we may get more volunteers if there's a clear start and end to that role and responsibility. So that may definitely be something you want to consider. Maxime, do you have your hand up?
Maxime Alvo, but for the record, actually, I think we might need either 2 co-chairs or an alternative chair in case where the major one just cannot be there, or Susan told us some items shouldn't be reviewed when the person actually needs to make some kind of even secondary decision about himself or herself. So I think we will need something like it. It doesn't matter how we call it, but as I've seen, co-chairs work fine if they share a load and actually just replace each other in situations where one is not available for some reasons. Thanks. And just in case we don't find the second one, I'm stepping in to be an alternative chair in case where Susan just thinks it's not okay to be in this seat. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Maxime. So I think what I've heard is that there's broad support to have two co-chairs for this effort. In any case, as I think Renata pointed out as well, it would be interim at this stage as we're still waiting the appointment of one more person who, of course, may also be interested. And I think that was also the suggestion that maybe it could be indeed for this specific selection only at this stage and then reconsidered for the next one. And I think Susan has already indicated that following this one, she would be interested to take on that role. So I think the question is now specifically for this effort. I think Maxime already indicated his willingness to come forward. Is there anyone else that would like to take on this role and basically lead the call from here onwards? Or I'm happy to run as well through this call and basically the person would start for the next. And to Renata's question, while you think about that question, yes, correct. The charter foresees that if someone is not able to attend, or that may also be in a scenario where someone has to recuse themselves, that it's your responsibility to identify or find an alternate to replace you. My assumption is here, but again, it's of course between you and the groups that have appointed you, that is something you may want to communicate with your respective groups as you're in principle the appointment, and they may want to be aware if for some reason you're not able to participate or you have to recuse themselves. So I don't know if in any case then they may want to take a role in appointing the replacement, or whether it's something you as an individual are able to do. But again, I think that's something for you and your respective appointing organizations to figure out. So I'm not seeing any hands at this stage. Are you happy with me to continue for this meeting? And then it's also a question we put out on the list so that hopefully for the next meeting we'll have at least two volunteers. Not seeing any comments or responses. I don't have to interpret that as okay. All right. I see so yes isn't okay. All right. Okay. So I think on that note, we'll move ahead to the next item on the agenda. And I think we're going to – oh, someone trying to speak? Okay. And I think we can probably take the next two items together. I think to a large extent we've already started discussing those. I'll just pull up the slide that I shared, and hopefully all of you actually, Nafi, can I ask for your assistance in changing the document? Because for some reason Adobe Connect doesn't let me. So we shared with you some slides that were helpfully shared with our colleagues that are actually supporting or that will be supporting the RDS review team and that have worked on the call for volunteers and managing the information that is currently available. That provides a quick overview of what the RDS review team is actually about, how the selection process has run to date, as well as what the expectation is with regards to this selection. So I think, and I have to admit, I don't know if this is basically based as of, I think when they presented this information in at ICANN 58, so this may have changed slightly. But I think this is the most important part, and I think we already discussed that briefly, but basically each supporting organization and advisory committee is expected to nominate a slate of candidates from the applicant pool. And the expectation is that you review those candidates that have indicated that they want to be endorsed by the GNSO. As I said before, the top three of those get an automatic seat. For the four additional ones, or potential four additional ones, those are potential alternatives that the SO and AC chairs can consider as they select representatives, and noting that they're expected to factor in, you know, expertise, diversity, gender, and geographic in that overall slate of candidates. There's no obligation to fill up the whole review team to that maximum number of 21 people, but that's a possibility, and again, for the SO and AC to decide. Following that, the selected review team members are announced, and others can observe the work. The hope or the expectation is that the review team can have its first meeting after Copenhagen and before the Johannesburg meeting, but of course that is dependent on the work by the different communities to endorse their candidates or provide that nomination. I think from what I've seen so far, I think the GAC has already confirmed their nominations, but I'm not sure if any of the other groups have already done so, noting that there are actually a couple of communities that have not identified or no one applied for those specific groups, which will make it relatively likely that there will be additional slots available to be filled should the SO and AC chairs decide that that is helpful to ensure the overall expertise and diversity of the group. So I think I briefly already covered this. So this is basically the overall selection process up to maximum 21. The board also designates a liaison, and that person has already been identified. And as I said before, you know, SOACs nominate up to three members each and have them seated, and then any nominations beyond that number of three could be appointed, but that's an SOAC chair conversation. So what I did here in this slide is to briefly pull out some of the elements of the charter that may be relevant to be considered for this conversation. So as that, you're expected to provide the GNSO Council with a recommendation on who to nominate, factoring in that the GNSO can nominate up to seven with three guaranteed seats. You're expected to evaluate candidates individually and then collectively and decide how to select the different people. Then you will, based on that review, rank the candidates according to the criteria listed in the call for applications. And, you know, as noted, you're expected to strive as far as possible to achieve balance, representativeness, diversity, and sufficient expertise appropriate for the applicant selection process. Following that, you're expected to communicate this to the GNSO Council, including the proposed ranking. And you're expected to make your recommendations by full consensus. And full consensus basically means when no one in the group speaks against the recommendations in its last reading. So, in effect, it means everyone has a veto in this context. So I think that's, in short, the RDS review team and the selection process. And what I'll pull up now, if Adobe lets me, is the other document that I shared with you, which is basically that aims to bring together the different aspects of this discussion. So in this document, you first of all see some of the things I just mentioned that are in the charter. Then it covers the responsibilities, skills, and expertise of the desired attributes as they were called out in the call for volunteers. So those are the different criteria that volunteers are expected to meet in order to serve on the review team. And then you'll have a table that provides an overview of the candidates that have applied for this review team that have identified as seeking endorsement from the GNSO. I already went into the different applications and tried to discern their stakeholder group and constituency affiliation. It's one of the requirements as well in the charter for the SSE that basically indicates that there's the expectation that, and Susan already referred to that beforehand as well, that those that identify that they're part of a certain group, that you're able to confirm that indeed they are member known and as such should be considered as a candidate from that specific community. As said, for several of these, you know, that I know that they're active in certain groups, so we flag that, you know, from our perspective or from a staff perspective, we know they are active and participating in this group. However, for a couple of those, we either were not able to identify that from their application, or they mentioned a number of groups, so we may need to look for confirmation from the different reps on this group to make sure that, you know, we identify whether it's indeed, because, for example, one applicant named in their application both NCUC, NPOC, and NCSG, so there may be a desire to pin down which group that exactly is. Renata, I see you in the queue. I'm almost done. Then there's as well a column that talks about the staff assessment of expertise criteria. That is a separate document that you'll find posted on the wiki page, in which, again, it's not policy staff that has done that, but the staff that has received the applications and is responsible for the overall process, that basically has gone through all those applications and from their perspective kind of flagged whether candidates meet some, meet most, or meet all criteria from their perspective. Again, this is just a piece of information that you may find helpful as you review these candidates. It's definitely not intended to limit your discussion or consideration of these applicants. And then there's also one column that basically identifies whether any of these applicants are currently active in any WHO is related groups or have been active in previous review teams. And again, what I've done for here, for those that identified that they were active in the RDS-PDP working group, I've added the percentage of attendance in those groups, so you also have an idea of how active their participation. So from a staff perspective, we hope that this provides you with an initial set of information to basically decide how to move then to the next step to evaluate these candidates first individually and then collectively to be able to come to agreement on which candidates to nominate. And as I've mentioned before, and I think also mentioned in my email, the timeline for that is fairly short, as the document deadline for the upcoming council meeting is the 10th of April. So ideally, you will have your selection and recommendations ready by that date, so that the council consider it during its meeting on the 20th of April. So that's it. Renata, sorry for keeping you waiting.
Thank you, Marika and Renata. I hope you can listen to me okay, if not, indicate on the chat. I am just wondering, I did see here the note. GAC has confirmed their nomination, and I did see that this was a staff assessment, initial assessment of the candidates on attendance and several other aspects. I am wondering if there is any discarded applications, and if we can already, like, right out of this list, I see someone who is affiliated with GAC. So would that be someone we would not consider in our discussion or not? So just asking to make this clearer. Thank you.
Thanks, Renata. It's a very good question. I think there as well, we probably will look to you to indeed confirm, because as I said, I looked at the application of the person, and the only reference in the application I could find was to GAC participation. But that may not include that this person is a member of one of the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies. So indeed, the hope is that as you review this list, you communicate back to the SSC whether people have been correctly labeled as either being part of your respective group or they haven't been labeled and should be labeled as such. But indeed, then you're correct. Once you've confirmed the affiliation, it's up to the SSC to decide if you believe any nominations coming out of this group should at a minimum be affiliated with a genus or stakeholder group or constituency, that would allow you indeed then to eliminate some people from the list. But that's probably a question you will need to discuss as a group. Is that a criteria you want to set, you know, at the outset? There needs to be a stakeholder group constituency affiliation or not. answer your question? Do you still have your hand up, or is that an old hand? Go ahead. Yulf, can you hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, this is Yulf. I just didn't hear you actually giving me the call. Somehow it cut out just at that point. Yeah, I have a question about the spreadsheet with the candidates where there's a staff assessment of the expertise criteria. A very core level which meets some, most, or all. That way we could get sort of one level deeper than that analysis.
Ron, can you hear me again? I think I'm back on audio. So.
Yeah, I can hear you, Marika.
Okay. Yulf, I don't know if you already made your contribution. I was having some audio issues, so I didn't hear if you had any specific question for me or whether your comment has already been noticed.
Yes, sorry. Let me then try to repeat because people seem to have a problem hearing. I was wondering if we could actually get one level deeper information than just meet all, most, or some, as in sort of which specific ones does it meet, doesn't it meet?
Thanks, Yulf. Again, I think it's really up to the SSC to determine how deep or how far you want to go. I said staff made this initial analysis, and it's really up to you to decide what you want to do with that or whether indeed you want to review to see whether you agree with the assessment that was made or whether there's a different approach you want to take.
Okay, but so as the staff has already made that evaluation, I was just wondering if we could get that data that the staff looked at, of what specific ones did they think didn't meet, and so on.
Okay, I understand your question. So basically, if you look, and I'll post the link in the chat shortly, that the full document is on the wiki page that basically provides this evaluation for all applicants, not only the GNSO ones, of course. But I think basically they've made the assessment for all, but, and again, I don't know how to say that diplomatically, but my guess is, well, that the kind of, there is no didn't meet the criteria. The kind of lowest ranking is meet some. So again, I don't know if that's in certain cases trying to be nice or whether in certain cases it does mean that maybe they met some because they filled in the application, but they actually didn't meet any of the criteria that were outlined. So I think that is something where you may need to dive in deeper to really understand, is the meeting some meaning that indeed there's some criteria they met but others they didn't, or they actually met very few of the ones that were outlined. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thanks.
Frederic? Yes. I'm just wondering, we have this list of, we have the whole list of all the people from all the SOs, And we have the list on the wiki with like 15 people, and they are really the people we have to select our candidates from. Is that right?
That's correct.
The application received, so that makes things easier. But there is one criteria that I'm not very, I don't really understand it. I do understand it, but I don't know how to deal with it. Is the geographical diversities. Does this mean that if we have like three good candidates from any part of the world, we have to remove one to add one from another part of the world? How do the other teams do?
So this is Marika. My understanding is that the ultimate responsibility for that is actually with the SO and AC chairs. Obviously, I presume there is a desire or an objective for both the selection committee and as well as the GNSO council to factor that in as they review candidates. But as I understand it, the ultimate responsibility for that is when the selection is made, because of course then there is the ability to balance things out, because I think we have to be realistic as well. There may be a situation where all applicants for one SO or AC are all from one geographic region, one gender, one specific group. Then you don't really have the ability within that selection to balance it out. But again, when the SOAC chairs and review that broader picture, they have some flexibility there, especially if they're, of course, place is free, to balance that out by looking at other candidates that may have been nominated. I'm conscious that we're running out of time, as I think we only scheduled this call for 60 minutes. I don't know if there's any flexibility for any of you to continue a bit longer, or whether we should briefly talk about next steps. Maybe you can, if you can continue for a bit more, maybe you can put a green check mark. Okay, see a number of you indicated that you have, 5 minutes, 10 minutes max. Okay, so I think we probably need to start moving towards then a discussion on what to do next. How can we go from here to a next conversation during which you'll have had a chance to review the applications, potentially even already select from your perspective, and then go into a collective conversation. I think as I noted and Susan did as well, for the previous one, we used a survey approach to have a first assessment and then a subsequent conversation. Is that something that people are willing to consider? Are there any other approaches that you think will help us get to an agreement on the seven nominations? I said, noting that we're in a pretty tight timeline, which also brings me to the next point, is when we should be scheduling a next meeting, or whether you think we'll be able to provide a lot of information in the on the mailing list. I see Renat asking a question. The gender column on the briefing. I'm not sure is the gender column included somewhere else, or that's something we would need to add. Just trying to get clarification on that. And of course, in that case, we would need to see if that is a question that's being asked. And I'm actually looking at the staff assessment. It is included in there, so we can easily add that. That shouldn't be a problem. Maxime, I see you have your hand up.
Maxime also, but for the record, as I understand, the applications, they have a list of qualifications desired for the person who is trying to be a part of the team. So I suggest we have something to do poll with persons and qualifications and rankings, because without it, in the weighted approach, when you say to some degree, fully or not at all, the composition of the value or how you choose skills is important. We don't see the formula, so I think we will need to go with rankings and things like that. because if we choose like persons, we might miss qualifications. So we, I suppose, with the formal approach, like qualifications and rankings between 0 is zero knowledge of DNS and 10 is the uber god of the DNS. And then we go to the persons. That's it. And
Thanks, Maxime. So one question, and it's definitely something staff is able to set up. As I said, we've done it for the previous one as well. But well, what we did realize as part of that effort was that, of course, there are some nuances to it. And I referred to it before because, indeed, GeoOne's, if you look at the, I think it's page 2, which of those responsibilities, skills, and expertise, desired attributes do you want to rank on, or all of those, or do you want to do it collectively? Then the other question is, when you rank or score, do you want to have a kind of forced ranking? So basically, we'll list all the candidates, and you're basically asked to rank these from 1 to, I think there are 14 people on this list, so 1 to 14. And that, of course, gives then a kind of forced score at the end based on the aggregate of everyone's input, which is one way of doing it. Or you kind of have the ability to give each candidate up to 10 points. And it means that several can score 8 or 9, and you don't exclude it. So that there are several ways of doing it. So it would be helpful if you can provide us with some input how you would like to, us to do that. We can then create the poll and send you a preview. And based on your feedback then, and hopefully we can do that in a relatively short time frame, we're then able to launch the poll and have some results for you then to review and discuss. Susan, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I think we should, in interest of time, we're probably going to have to take this to the list, but I think we should decide on the criteria in the survey. The survey was really, it was a survey. We went through and answered questions per candidate, each of us individually, and it really did help guide our thinking, and the staff had set that up for us. So I think we should quickly, and not on today's call probably, but, you know, in the next 48 hours if possible, figure out what questions we all want to consider for each candidate, and as we did that, it became really apparent as we went through the survey individually for the SSR team, it became very apparent where the stronger candidates were lining up. And then when we came to our to the meeting to discuss those candidates, we already had taken the time to review them individually. So, you know, I sort of dialed into the meeting with 5 key candidates in mind. I mean, maybe we should say 7 because we could play 7. And but not all of those candidates that I had recommended ended up, you know, being selected after, you know, the 4 or 5 of us discussed them and voted on them when we came to a full consensus. So I do think the survey is helpful, but we would need to get the criteria for that survey to staff really quickly.
Thanks, Susan. And you know, if it's helpful, we can put together a first draft and maybe just use what is currently in there from the call for volunteers, and that maybe make it easier as well for you then to refine that. So maybe at least it gives you something to look at, and then we can as well, as I said, you know, maybe we approach it first with the forced ranking, so you have to choose 1, 2, 2, 14, and see if that is something that you know meets what you think the SSC needs, or whether we need to tweak that or modify it. And as you noted, unfortunately, we have a fairly short timeline to do this, which makes this a little bit more hurried than we would, of course, normally do, and be able to, you know, probably think more through how the different approaches would work. But now we may need to do it more in a trial or error approach. Renata?
Renata. Thank you, Marika. Yes, I agree that it would be very helpful having a draft. I would also like to think that most of the calls have similar criteria. So I am thinking if we can have something like a permanent rubric that gets adapted every time we have a selection. So also we can, in time, suggest improvements in this standard rubric and the specific rubric criteria for each selection. Thank you.
Thanks, Renata. I think that's a very helpful suggestion, and I think as well the desire, as this is a standing committee, that doesn't need to reinvent the wheel at every selection process. So I think that indeed the more that can be created that is replicable for other selections or future selections, the less work it will, of course, be for everyone involved. So I think that basically gets us out of time. Maxime, can you be brief? Because I know several people have to drop.
Record, just small notice. Yes, small notice. I don't think the permanent case directory is a good idea, because for different teams, we might need to see different persons with different qualifications. And it's like ever-growing matrix of skills, and you need to update it. So I don't think it's going to work. Thanks.
Thanks, Maxime. And I think it's definitely something that the group can, of course, evaluate as you go to your next selection. Of course, in this case, the next selection is very different, as it's not a review team, but there are more review teams that are down the line. So, again, I think it's for you then to review what is useful and what can be replicated. So very briefly then, we need to schedule probably a next meeting. So from a staff side, we'll try to get the survey out. Hopefully then in the next couple of days, we're able to refine the survey and get it into a state that you can all fill it out. So that does mean that we need a few days to pull that all together. I see that Fonseca suggested a next call on the 3rd of April, but that's probably too short notice to get a survey in a place where everyone is able to review it. So should we currently aim for next week, same time, same date, and hoping that we can make significant progress on the list, or do people believe that is too late?
I would think Wednesday would be better than Thursday.
Okay, so maybe...
Give us a couple of days to.
Yep, that sounds very reasonable. So maybe, Natalie, can you circulate a doodle poll to find a time next Wednesday, and maybe do Wednesday and Thursday, because if we are not able to make sufficient progress on Wednesday or Thursday, and I think actually we may need to already add a call time as well for the Monday, the 10th, that would at least allow us then as a backup, because 10th is in principle our deadline to provide nominations or recommendations to the council, so that at least gives us then a backup time to do that. So if that works for everyone, we'll get a dual poll out, and with the aim of at least having a meeting on Wednesday, potentially also one on Thursday, and then a backup on the Monday to be able to finalize any work that may still be outstanding. All right, yeah, and then Maxime, I think we're just looking for next week. We haven't started a conversation yet on what comes beyond that. I think we're first trying to figure this one out, and I think then we'll probably can take a little breath and figure out what the timing and sequence should be for the next assignment, which is the permanent or the representative on the empowered community for the GNSO. All right. Well, thank you very much all for joining and for indulging us for 12 more minutes. And speak to you all soon and see you hopefully active on the mailing list. Thank you very much.
Thanks all.
Thank you all for joining. This concludes today's call. You may now stop the recordings.